Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber
and singer-songwriter Marcia Novelli.
This week, we are pleased to welcome Detroit-based musician and producer Brandon Williams to the show. Brandon is one of the premier drummers on Detroit's live music scene and is well known in the industry for his ability to play numerous instruments and for his versatile repertoire. In 2009, he collaborated with Vicky Winans on How I Got Over. The album earned him 9 Stellar Award nominations, including 1 win, a Grammy Award nomination, and a NAACP Image Award.
As a producer, he has lent his hand to such artists as Jasmine Sullivan and Jay Electronica, and his production work can be heard in commercials such as the 2015 Honda Fit TV commercial featuring Questlove of the Roots. His debut solo album, 12, reached number 1 on the UK soul charts in February 2015 and has received much critical acclaim. We're excited to find out more about his journey, creative process, and the advice he'd offer to fellow musicians and aspiring producers.
Hey, Brandon. How's it going?
Hey, what's happening, Ross and Marcy? Are you all right?
I'm okay.
We're doing well. Yeah.
Good.
Got through that intro.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, it sounded good to me.
That's I think, Ross, would you agree that's our longest intro that we've ever had?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I mean, but you've done so much great stuff. It's hard to condense a long career, because I know that you've been in the industry since you were 12.
Oh, right.
So you've been in the industry for a long time. It's hard to condense that amount of time into a 30 to 60 second intro. So I hope we managed it relatively successfully.
Oh, no, it's fine. I mean, it was good. I'll make sure that next time I do it, it's shorter.
What?
Don't do that.
You don't want to do that. It's all good. So tell us 3 things about yourself that everyone should know.
3 things about me that everyone should know. The first thing, I love God. That's number 1. I love music. Number 2, and I love love.
Ah.
I know you're all about
that
the
one.
Love.
I've
been reading through your Twitter and your Facebook posts, and love is something that comes up constantly in almost every tweet, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm all about it, man. I'm all about it. Love is it's just one of those things that you know, it helps everyone get through life. You know, and if you don't have enough of it, then, you know, it I don't know, it's, you know, kind of a breakdown. But, you know, I mean, we've seen people who haven't, you know, who haven't had enough love, and we see where they end up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but love is just one of those very powerful things that can make us really great human beings. So
I love that, man. I'm a firm believer myself that, like, I'm a dad to 2 little boys, 3-year-old and a 5-month-old. And I mean, I can't offer them everything in the world, but what I can do is offer them love, man. You know what I mean? It's the most important thing.
Yeah, same thing for me. I just had, you know, my first son. He'll be 2.
Oh, congrats, man.
You know, coming up in January. And, you know, I can't give him everything. But again, you know, like you said, I can give him all of the love, you know, that I have. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's really all we need. I mean, you know, and some food.
Yeah, and some food.
I mean, but,
and a little bit of warmth.
That's all encompassed in the love, though.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, that's right, actually. When you really think about it, it really is.
And I have to say, I love food, so.
So it all comes full circle.
Yeah, it does. So as we mentioned in the intro, you started in the music industry at around 12, working. What? You worked under Grammy and Billboard super producer Michael J. Powell.
Right.
I would be interested to know what maybe the biggest lessons you learned from him were, and how do you apply them to your work today?
Really, the biggest lessons that I got from Mike, you know, I really watched, it was really more about watching him and what he did. Watching him is really where I learned how to be a music producer and a record producer. So, you know, and it's kind of, I can't even really explain how, kind of how he operates. But it's kind of like a movie director. And, you know, I mean, you just kind of guiding people, you know, to this really big picture. I could always see that he had the picture in his head, and what he wanted to hear was always there. So he just had to kind of guide people into what, you know, into what they wanted, or into what he wanted. So that was, I mean, that was really one of the biggest things. And then to keep your ears and your mind and your heart open to the music, and keep it open for change, because, you know, things do change. You know, a lot of times you may have something in your head and you may be dead set, you know, because I've been thinking about this song for a week or two or a month, you know, and then something that you had in your head doesn't quite fit. It doesn't quite work. So, you know, just being open to that. And, you know, and just changing things where needed to make it better for the song. So
that's the hardest for the artist usually.
I've always learned, you know, from him that the song is the most important thing. The song is most important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know that you you play a lot of instruments, unlike what a lot of people who maybe call themselves producers or maybe not producers in the traditional kind of sense of the word.
You mean the beat maker sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Ross and I were just having a conversation about this, actually. And, you know, it's an art form in its own sense, but that it should have a different name. Even if it's just beat producer.
Right. It should have, you know, and I used to be, you know, because I've always wanted to be a record producer, songs and, okay, you know, you do this and I need you to play this like that. I need you to do this like that. You know, and then you had these guys who just sit down to the MPC or sit down to Fruity Loops. I remember when Fruity Loops first came out back in like, I don't know, maybe 90, no, it maybe 2001 or two or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that's when people really started. That's when that producer thing came and the lines got kind of blurred. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I've just been sitting in my bedroom and making beats, and now I'm a producer. But what have you produced? You know, you aren't a record producer. You haven't produced the song. You know, you don't even have an artist on this song. No one's singing. No one's rapping. You haven't really done anything but sit there and make a beat. And not that I can knock that or take away from that, because it is an art form.
Right.
You know, to that. And I mean, that's something that I do as well. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's just kind of, yeah, the lines just got kind of blurred. But I think it would be, you know, would be cool to just have a different title for, you know, for
a different title, just
producer.
Well, you know, yeah. It's also like someone that's just starting on guitar, you can't really compare to somebody who's been playing for years and really knows how to craft a song or really play an instrument. It's the same thing, because the program's there, the sound's already there, so it's not mm-hmm. gonna sound terrible. But it's not the same as someone that knows what they're doing. Like compare like someone that's just messing around with Fruity Loops to like Timbaland.
It's not the same thing. No. Yeah, it's just not the same. Like, no. You know, okay, you've been playing guitar for 2 months. You aren't a guitar player yet.
Exactly.
You know, you just play good. You play guitar. You play at the guitar, but you are not a guitar player. Eric Clapton is a guitar player.
Exactly.
You know, Wes Montgomery, he is a guitar player or was a guitar player.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, it's the lines are just, you know, really blurred, you know, mm-hmm. but again, you know, there are some people who you know, who do that and do it well. One of my mentors, you know, Jay Dilla, he was one of those guys, even though you know, eventually he did start to produce songs, but he was the guy that sat in the basement and just made beats all day. Like, I remember when we were building his studio, and I'm guessing this may have been around 2002 or so. And we left his house at 3 a.m. maybe. And we were literally building the studio around him. We had to get like a little area of the control room done so he could set his MPC up just so he could work. And so we built the studio kind of around him. But this one particular time, I think, again, we left maybe at 2, 3 a.m. And we got back at 8 a.m. and he still hadn't went to sleep yet. But he had been working the entire time we were there, from 7 a.m. to, you know, to 2 or 3. I mean, I literally saw this guy go for days and not, you know, not sleep, not eat. He would just sit in his basement with his MPC 3000 and make the most incredible music. You know, some of the most incredible stuff that I'd ever heard in my life.
How do you approach a session as a producer?
It just kind of depends on what, you know, everything, the approach is different, you know, because I can't produce a pop record the same way that I can produce a hip hop record or R&B record. You know, R&B record, you know, I mean, I can, you know, because the lines are kind of blurred there too with R&B and pop, and those things are kind of almost the same now, you know, when you listen to, you know, maybe Usher or Chris Brown, and, you know, it's not, you know, traditional R&B in the sense of, you know, things that we would listen to in the 90s. But, yeah, my approach is different. Like if I'm sitting down here, you know, in my pre-production studio, then I may approach it, you know, I don't know. I could sit down to the MPC and do it that way, start off with a drum pattern first, or I may sit down to the piano, or I may pick up the guitar and just kind of craft it around, you know, just around whatever I'm hearing at the time.
Well, are you often co-writing, or does an artist come to you with a fully written song and you're, are you bringing it to life? Are you playing some of the instruments for them? Like what kind of, I know it's always different, but is there a general approach you take? Like when you first receive a song from somebody, or if somebody approaches you saying they want to work with you?
Yeah. Normally because I don't like to sit at home, unless I'm creating music for myself to put out.
Oh, okay.
I don't really like to sit at home and just create. Not for an artist, because I feel that I just kind of like to do it how they did it in the old days. I need you know, you come to me with a song, you come to me with lyrics, and then let's craft this song together.
Yeah, I think that's what
you know. That's kind of the way I like to do it. You know, and then this goes back to the whole beat maker thing. Like I can sit here and make 100 beats and say, okay, yeah, you take this one, you take this one, and you write to it. And not that that's bad either. You know, because there have been some great songs written, you know, from somebody just coming up with some music and sending it to a songwriter. But, yeah, I like to do it more in a traditional sense where, you know, you come to me with the song, I'll sit down to the piano or the guitar, whatever, you know, will be the lead for, you know, for that song.
Yeah, I like that because I mean,
it's kind of go from there.
Well, I mean, we live in such a social media, kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's overtaken us so much that, you know, it's the whole, it's kind of the kind of thing they say, like, it's brought us so close together, but, you know, it pushed us so far apart. So I love that you still do that because, I mean, at least you could still be in a room with somebody and create something, you know? Right. And again, not, like you said, not to take something away from people who want to create, you know, via, you know, the internet or anything like that, but that's nice. But it's also, I think, because you're an artist. So I think there's a separation for you. I mean, if you're going to create something, that's for you. Where someone's going to bring you something and then you're going to collaborate with them. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of how you separate it for yourself?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, and a lot of, you know, it's crazy. A lot of my record had to be done that way. You know, just because, you know, it wasn't feasible to spend $300 or $400 for a plane ticket to get to the studio. You know, my main thing was spending the money on the record. So let's get the music done. But I did try to go out as much as possible so I could be in the studio with these people. You know, but a lot of people are recording at home, you know, so you may not fly out to just go for, you know, for this guy to do this keyboard part for 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
You know, so it's like, well, you go ahead, you know, you of go course. Ahead, get it done, send it back to me when you're done. But, you know, if there was something that needed to be written, like I did a session with a young lady named Chocolate who's featured on my album, and she was actually touring at the time. I said, well, where can we meet where we can actually write this song together? She was like, well, I'll be in Atlanta for 2 days. So if you can fly down here, you know, then we'll get it done. So I flew down to Atlanta for a couple of days. We made it happen. But it was just really good to be in the room with her to create that song.
There's a synergy that happens that just cannot fully happen.
Yeah,
the computer
it is.
Screen.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know,
at least the core of the song, that's the most important.
Right, and you get to, you know, it's just that exchange, you know, because some of the songs on my album weren't written that way. You know, I created the music, you know, sent the music bed out, and okay, you write to it, you send me back the lyrics. I'll say, okay, we'll change this lyric, change that lyric, change this. You send it back to me. Okay, the lyrics are cool. Put down your final take, and then I'll build the rest of the song around, you know, around what you did. You know, but I mean, it's, you know, I mean, beautiful music comes out, you know, in all of those types of ways.
Right.
But I think that, that a lot of it, you know, a lot of stuff has been lost, and that's why we aren't getting as much great music as we used to have in the 80s, 70s, the 60s, because people aren't feeling each other. You know, and then the love factor is so important. You know, that's another thing and another reason why a lot of the music felt the way it did before, because people were in the room actually loving on each other. You know, we
back I to mean, the love.
Yeah, back to
I
the
think,
love.
I think we mentioned yeah. that before. Did we mention that before the interview, Russ, or was that mentioned?
No, we talked about right at the start, and I think
that's right.
I can totally relate to that. I think you can tell by listening. Maybe the average listener might not be able to tell in the same way that we can, because we are involved with music every day and we right. listen to so much of it. But for me, definitely, when I listen to something, I think I can tell when there's a lot of love put into it. Like, I can tell when people have been in the room together and this has meant so much to them and they've, you know, really yep. collaborated. I think you can feel that versus right. when there's not that connection there. Exactly.
I think so too. I don't know. Maybe we're just romanticizing it, but I'd like to say right. I'd like to think that you can feel that too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
With you on
yeah.
that one.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your album 12, which is stylized with Roman numerals, so X.
Right.
L.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned in the intro, it recently charted at number one in the UK Soul Charts, which is a huge thing. And
yeah, it was cool.
And it's being distributed in Japan and Taiwan.
Right. Yeah. It's been distributed in Japan. They released it in March, and it'll be hitting the shelves in Taiwan probably within the next month or so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I have a quick fact about Japan for you.
Okay.
Do you know that? I'm pretty sure, but I say fact. It's only something that I'm quite sure of. I'm sure. I heard.
You're quite sure that this is a
I'm
fact.
I'm quite sure. Yeah. My sure level is decreasing as the sentences go on. But I'm sure that Japan is the nation that buys the most CDs out of anywhere
really?
In the world. Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
I guess yes! Japan.
I didn't find that out until I put my album out,
right.
You know, because I've sold a lot of records there, you know, but I heard, you know, because, you know, Tower Records used to be here, you know, in the States. It used to be really big. All of the Tower Records shut down, but, you know, all of the record stores are still opening, and they're still opening record shops in, you know, in Japan all the time. But, you know, I didn't know that they weren't into iPods and listening to music on their phones. Like, these people really go out and buy 10 CDs. Like, I remember seeing on Instagram, you know, I would search my name and I would see that somebody had just got home from Tower Records and they had bought 20 CDs. You know, I'm like, CD is like one of those that's laid out on the bed, you know, of these 17 CDs. I'm like, wow, these people are really out spending money on music and buying CDs. You know, it was crazy.
That excites me, because that makes me think of like my childhood. You know what I mean? Going to the record store and actually buying tapes and cassette tapes and CDs.
Yeah.
You know?
Remember. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I got to get it to Japan. So what would you basically say to an artist who wants to work with a producer and how they want to get the most out of the producer they're working with?
You know something? An artist that wants to go to a producer to work, just really be serious about what you're doing. I've had a lot of people approach me who just weren't serious about what they were trying to do. You know, you really need to study and figure out what it is that you want to do. And then the second thing you said, for them to get the best out of the producer, it's actually not their job to do that. It's actually my job to get the best out of them. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true. However, you know, what could they bring to the table to make...
You know, it's my job to get the best out of an artist, whether I make you mad in the studio, whether you're crying in the booth, whatever it is.
And it happens.
And I've dealt with all of that. I've had people, you know, people cursing me out. you know, you broke down in the booth. You were crying because we had to do this one take 70 times. You know, but if you come to me and you like what I do, this is how I work. You know, but it's really my job to get the best out of, you know, out of them.
Well, I guess a better way to phrase that then, like, what can they bring to the table to allow you to do your job the best?
Really just being serious about the craft and professionalism. And then also fun. You know, and this is, you know, this is a personal thing. I like to have fun in the studio. I don't like it to be, you know, really serious and, you know, and tight and, you know, and that kind of stuff. I really like to have fun. So if you need to have some wine or whatever, you know, I'm not into the other stuff. Yeah. You know, but if you need to have a drink, you know, to loosen up or whatever it is, you know, just come in the studio ready to work, but ready to have fun too. You know, that's what'll get the best out of me, because I like to have fun.
Yeah, you know, personally, speaking from personal experience, I've had both experiences where it's been very serious and tight in the studio, and then where it's just been a lot of fun. And I definitely would prefer the latter of the two. You know, just you're still doesn't mean you're not serious about the music,
right?
But you've got to be able to. You know, I always kind of say this, like, I don't take myself seriously. I take my art seriously, and I think that's the way to be.
Yeah, it's all about balance.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, it's just a balance of it all. You know, we can definitely be serious about the music, but we can be serious about having fun in here too.
Yes, exactly. Of course. Like,
studio time is being paid for, but we just spent 5 minutes laughing. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I've seen people like, no, we're not going to laugh in here today because this money is being spent. So, like, there's no, like, you can't laugh. There's no excess talking. God. There's no, you know, like, no, we need to get this music done.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's, you know, it's just about balance.
Yeah
balance
exactly.
is the key.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then one other question kind of relating to being a producer. If someone wants to become a producer.
A real producer.
Yeah.
A real, okay.
A real producer.
A music producer. Okay.
What would be the one biggest piece of advice that you would give them?
To be a student of music. That's my number one thing. You have to know what's going on in the music. I've seen a lot of people, you know, who say they're a R&B producer, but you hear the music and it's not really that, you know, or you're a pop producer or just whatever it is that you do. But you just need to be a student of, you know, if you're going to be that type of producer, I need you to be a student of that music. Me, you know, wanting to go for, I mean, and not even necessarily wanting to go for it, but I'm just kind of a student of all music. I just listen to it all and I just kind of pull from, you know, pull from different places. But I think that's really the main thing, is just to be a student of, you know, of the music that you want to create.
Speaking of which, is there any music or band or artist that you listen to that people would be surprised that you listen to?
Surprised? Not necessarily. I don't think so. Just because people know, you know, they know kind of what I do, and people have been, you know, I guess with social media out there, you know, you just kind of put stuff out.
I'm waiting for you to be like, yeah, Marilyn Manson and me, man.
Right. Yeah, I don't have anything like that. People will be like, oh my, you're like, okay.
Right.
But it's funny. And a lot of people don't know this, but one of my favorite genres of music is country music.
Oh, really?
I'm a huge fan. Like, when I jump in my car, that's the only thing that's on. I don't listen to anything else except country music. Our country music station here, you know, in Detroit is 99.5. And, you know, I jump in the car and that's what's on.
Well, let's be specific here. Is this old school country? Is this new country? Is this pop country?
This is new country.
Okay, but new country's okay, but not like the kind of crap that's recently come out where they're trying to, like, make country...
But like bro country,
yeah, it's like trucks, beer, you know.
Well, it's some of that stuff too on that station.
I can't do it.
Yeah, you know, because they have to make money too. But right. Yeah, some of that stuff is on that station. But but definitely not leaning toward that country.
Right. Not redneck country.
Let me see. Not that.
No. See, I'm more into the Americana kind of stuff, like the more folky side of country.
Yeah, yeah,
I think that's the kind of I dig a lot of that.
Like,
because there's always a lot of nice harmonies and.
Oh yeah, like I'm a Shania Twain, Leanne Rimes.
Oh yeah, yeah, I can dig
early,
that.
You know, that early '90s, late '90s kind of country. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, country is that's my thing.
Well, that surprises me a little bit for sure. Yeah. you think you'll ever work on a country record? If you haven't already,
I actually want to get into that. Like I've sat and produced some things here at home, and you know, and made some, you know, some country records, but nothing that's seen the light of day yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one thing, that I did back in 2005 or 2007. on this girl named Aaliyah Coley from the Bahamas. And we did a song called Fill My Heart. And it's kind of a country inspired, you know, kind of thing. It's a cool song.
Cool.
Really fun. And, you know, it's a fun I need to go listen to that one.
There you go.
I may post that one up on Facebook today.
There we go. Cool. Yeah. We'll check it out.
Yeah.
It's a cool song.
Are you ready for 20 questions?
I didn't know about 20 questions, but hey, I'm good for 20
Uh-oh,
questions.
Oh, here we go. I'll get started. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Meat or veggies?
Ugh. Oh,
think healthy.
This is a rough one. I'm gonna go with veggies.
Good answer. CD or vinyl?
Oh, come on, it's vinyl. That's not a real question. That's not real.
Twitter or Facebook?
Wow.
We're stumping them.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
These are the easy ones.
Oh, wow. Like, I like them both for different reasons, but I like Twitter because it's really quick.
Yeah, me too.
You just get it done. You know, yeah. Facebook, that'll be long and elaborate. I mean, you don't have to be, but.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But Twitter, yeah, I think I reach more people on Facebook, but I like Twitter better.
Mac or PC?
Ugh, this is another rough one. Well, they're kind of all the same now.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm saying is I'm an A-plus certified computer repair tech. So
hey, no way.
I think I'll personally go with PC just because it's more
customizable.
Yeah, it's more customizable. You can just kind of get in and do everything that you want.
Detroit or New York City?
Sorry for that one.
I'm going to have to go with Detroit. There you go. I mean, it's home. I love New York, but it's just so much stuff happening. It's just, you know, sometimes it just moves too fast.
Mm-hmm. Stevie Wonder or Marvin Gaye?
Oh, my God. These are rough. yeah, this is a rough one. Oh, man. Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye. I'm going to have to go with Stevie Wonder. He wrote Songs in the Key of Life, which is one of the greatest records to ever be made. So I'm going to go with Stevie Wonder. That whole classic period between like 73 and 77.
Yeah, that's it.
It's almost unmatched, you know. So Stevie Wonder. And I actually recorded with Stevie Wonder once.
No.
It was a really, really cool thing.
Oh, that's really amazing. Cool.
Yeah, Stevie, he's great.
Now, I think this one should be easier because I got a sense from your Twitter and your bio. Style or substance?
Substance, period.
Yeah. There we go.
Thumbs up. Yeah. Indie or major?
Indie.
Nice.
Yeah, indie. You know, I mean, major is cool, but indie, we just kind of get to do what we really want to do.
Yeah.
No, major, you don't really get that a lot of times, you know, unless you have, you know, you've built a certain kind of clout and reputation in the industry. But that still doesn't come with, you know, maybe after like your first record, you know, after you've done a few, then okay, now we'll let you do your thing. You know, you've proven to us, you know, as we've expanded, as we've expanded on your career.
Yeah.
We've let you add one more of your own songs each time that you're still successful. So now we'll let you handle it. But,
and then when the record flops, you're dropped.
And then you're gone. I'll go with indie though. It's a lot of great music coming out of, you know, just indie music in general, indie soul music, indie rock. Indie is cool.
Yeah.
Canada or Scotland?
I'm going to go with Scotland.
Oh, you finally get one, Roz.
I know. No
People
one ever
usually
says
always
Scotland.
Pick Canada. That's okay. That's good.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Scotland. Though I do love Nova Scotia, though.
Oh, really? Of all places.
Nova Scotia is
Well, you know that Nova Scotia is New Scotland, right?
Well, there it is. Just going completely Scotland then.
Yeah, in your face, Marcio.
Marcio, you lost. You lost.
Thanks. The Temptations or the Supremes?
I go with the Temps. Yeah, the Temps were one of the greatest male groups of all time. They kind of showed everyone how to do it. So,
nice.
Yeah, the Temps were great.
Spotify or Pandora?
I'm not really a big user of Spotify. I've probably logged in 4 or 5 times. Pandora, I've always enjoyed. I've been using Pandora since, I'm guessing, maybe around 2000, 2001. And I've discovered a lot of new music through, you know, through Pandora. And I'm sure it's the same way, you know, with Spotify. Maybe if you let it kind of shuffle, or I don't know how, you know, how the system works. But I've always really, really loved, Pandora.
Dr. Dre or Eminem?
Huh.
It's an interesting question, right?
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I guess it would be what we're talking about.
I know.
Because, you know, Eminem is a producer as well.
Yeah.
But Dre is a rapper as well.
Yeah.
Overall, oh man, I'm go with Dr. Dre.
There you go.
I was gonna say, without Dr. Dre, there may not be any Eminem.
Where he is now. That's what I was trying to say.
This is true. Yeah, this is true. You know? Yeah, Dre was the one that just kind of put him out there. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Dre.
Education or experience?
Experience. I was the feature performer at a jam session a few weeks back, and that kind of came up. And the reason being, I think maybe somebody kind of asked that question directly, and I know a lot of kids who come out of college, and, you know, just speaking to jazz in general, because you learn music theory and you learn how to play jazz in college. But then when you get on stage with these guys who've been playing for the last 30 or 40 years, you can't play. You know, like, you get your tail kicked all up and down the stage because you really don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to go with the experience thing, you know, because there are people who haven't gone to school, you know, to learn any of that stuff. You know, but they just get on the stage and they make it happen. I mean, look at Roy Haynes. He's 90 years old and he's still playing drums.
That's amazing.
But he didn't go to school for that. You know, Coltrane didn't go to school for that.
Yeah.
Nancy Wilson didn't go to school for that. So, you know, I'm going to go with experience.
Yeah, I'm big on that. It's all about experience, man. Now, this is one of our famous questions.
Okay. I'm scared of this one.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton with the power grab?
Michael Jackson. I thought it was going to be a Michael versus Prince thing, but
oh my God, how we not
that'd
that?
Be an interesting
Thanks
one.
Yeah, I mean, well,
okay, let's do that instead. Michael versus Prince.
Michael versus Prince, and a lot of people. But yeah, Michael Bolton, Michael Jackson,
yeah,
Michael
yeah.
Jackson, Prince, still Michael Jackson. And the reason I say that is because Michael Jackson really didn't make any bad music. Like, for a really long time, you know, after 79, when Off the Wall came out, up until the day that he left here, Michael's music was very consistent all across the board. You may not have liked one album. Like, I know he did that one album, Blood on the Dance Floor.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't too, you know, that one wasn't too hot. But, you know, all of his music was really consistent until he left here. Prince, on the other hand, kind of after Purple Rain, which was 35 years ago.
Oh my God, really?
Things just kind of, you know, it's like, what happened? Like, the only album that I really like by Prince is his very first album, For You, which came out in like 77, 78. But he made, you know, I mean, he made a lot of bad music. This is my opinion. You know, I mean, you know, I've always thought that Prince was very overrated. You know, a lot of people won't like me for saying this, but these are my personal opinions.
Yeah, of course.
You know, he's a great songwriter, great producer, great musician. You know, he can play and he can do all of that stuff. But, you know, a lot of his music just hasn't been consistently good.
I'd pick Jackson.
You know, and then the stuff that he's doing now is like, what? I don't understand. I don't get it. I get it.
Twerk or work?
Twerk
or work?
Twerk. I'm gonna go with work.
No one ever picks twerk.
I'm gonna go with work. Wow. Y'all not into the whole twerking thing.
Ross does it every day. That's how he wakes himself up in the morning.
You twerk in the morning?
He can't start working until he twerks.
You jump out of bed and twerk.
He's twerking and then he starts working.
Okay. Hey, I mean, to each his own, boss. Make it happen.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
I, Is that real?
That's real. That's real.
We're gonna completely do this to Ricky Martin.
You don't like Ricky Gervais? Do you like Ricky Gervais?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like Ricky Gervais. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah, but no, Ricky Martin. No. Not, no.
Whale or kale?
Quail.
Whale or kale?
I haven't had whale before.
We're not saying to eat it. We're just saying in general.
It's in general.
It doesn't really make sense.
Overall kind of concept, which one do you love more, whale or kale?
I'm going to go with whale. And it's funny, one of my favorite animals is actually the sperm whale. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure why, but I've been infatuated.
Hey, we won't ask.
Not going to question.
All right, Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Bette Midler.
She's great, eh?
She is one of my all-time favorites.
No way! No kidding. That's another surprise.
It's funny, actually. A lot of people say that, and a lot of people that you wouldn't really expect to.
So she may be one of those people you asked a question before people that I listen to that people may be like, well, what are you talking about? But Bette Midler is just, I mean, she's an amazing vocalist. Amazing. I love her acting. She's great. Like her and Streisand are two of my top.
No kidding, eh?
Oh, yeah. I love those two. But Bette Midler, though.
Cool.
Yeah.
And your last final question. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry about now, this in advance.
Yeah. You know, if you thought the others were, well, I mean, you might find this question easy. Who knows?
Okay.
Ross or Marcio?
Keeping in mind, I'm also a singer-songwriter. Produce my own stuff too.
I'm gonna go with Marcio.
Yeah, woohoo! I finally got one.
See, I didn't want to fight. I didn't want to fight for that because I felt that you really needed this, Marcio.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Marcio, but Marcio.
But.
Because Ross already won today.
Oh, I see. It's one of his conditions.
He already won.
Ross gets this a lot too, right? I went with Canada, but
don't take it as a sympathy win, though.
Okay. This means something to me, man.
Yeah, but yeah, he got Scotland, so I'll give it to you.
Right, you know, right. This is like Marcio winning an Oscar or a Grammy. Like, this is one of the pinnacles of his career.
Oh, this is funny. I'm glad that I was able to do that. Maybe I'll put like a plaque together.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Shit. That would
be great. And like send it. And like send
it. That he'll take it everywhere with him. It'll be like, you know, as some people have like a little dog in their
When I get anxious, I like just kind of rub it and just kind of like.
That's so funny. So I have to make sure it's kind of small. It's something kind of pocket size. Yes. So you can just kind of have it with you.
Yes, exactly.
I'll make it happen. I'm going to make it happen.
Dude, this has been so great. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us and
problem.
Your experience and all your knowledge and just being so open and spreading love.
That's what it's about.
Love.
Yeah, maybe I need to write a song.
You have to, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
So everyone needs to go to your website, which is bwilliamsmusic.com.
That's it. And they can get to everything right from my website.
Yeah, bwilliamsmusic. This is your Twitter and your Facebook too, right?
Yeah, everything is right there. I mean, yeah, awesome. bwilliamsmusic is everything. So
that's good. Keep it consistent, man. Keep it easy for people to find you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Absolutely. And if you want to hear what I'm up to, go to marciandavalli.com. I'm currently writing for my second solo album, and I've got some music coming out, so check it out.
Very cool.
Yeah, and if you want to see what I'm up to, you'll find me at electrickiwi.co.uk. I design websites for bands and musicians, and I have a blog there that I write in, and I'd love you to read some stuff and share. And
don't read it.
Yeah, I know. My writing's pretty terrible.
Don't do it.
Check
it out. All right, man. Come back again soon, okay?
I sure will. You all have a good, is it day and day and all of that stuff?
It is afternoon for me. Yeah, it's just early evening for us.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, you all have.
What time is it where you are right now? Wait, no, you're in Detroit, right?
Yeah, it's 2:08.
Yeah, yeah, we're in the same time zone. I'm in Toronto, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, perfect. Ross is the only one that's like 7 p.m. right now.
Yeah, 7 p.m. for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I'm in the future.
He's in the future.
Yeah.
Let us know if we're still around.
You have a good day. You have a good evening. And I'll definitely come back again soon. You all just let me know.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
adds up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.